Should that inspire us to talk to people about Jesus? Every time you see somebody, you ask them, do they know Jesus? And if they say no, you tell them, let me tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. It was Jesus Christ and how he saved me. And if they mock you, they laugh at you, make fun of you, don't take it personal. Just say, I love you. That's the reason I'm telling you. It's because I love you and I don't want you to die and go to hell. But that's where you're going. And they say, there ain't no such thing as hell. I don't believe that. Well, you pray for them. You ask the Lord to open their heart and mind. And when you start praying for that person, man, that night, he may give them a dream of hell. And he'll show them, and they'll wake up in torment. Why have I never dreamed about this terrible place of hell until now? Because you had not met them before then. And then you prayed, and God is doing everything he can to answer your prayer to get that person to seek out heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ, because he does not want them to die and go to hell. And just think, we may be only years. Well, I'm going to tell you, today, there's going to be about 8,000 people die in the period of time we've been in church. On the face of the earth, about 8,000 people die every hour on this earth. Isn't that a lot? 8,000. 8,000 people die every hour on this earth. And if Howard Pittman was right, 97.5% of them are going to hell. Why is 97.5% of them going to hell? Because we didn't tell them about Jesus. That's exactly right. We didn't pray for them. So we need to do something. We need to make a resolution this year that we're going to do something for Jesus this year. How different from this way of faith is the way of law, which says if you wish to find life by obeying the law, you must obey all of its commands. All of its commands. Wow, okay. But Christ has rescued us from the curse. Now, this is one of the most awesome statements in God's Word. I have used these two verses to get more people healed. But Christ has rescued or redeemed us from the curse of the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. I think about that little boy that was standing right here last year, 13 years old, that the retinas in the back of his eyes had never developed. And he couldn't focus on nothing. He couldn't read nothing. He could see things, but everything was blurry. And there was no cure for the boy. So his mother and dad, I think they were from Lubbock or Odessa, wherever, Lubbock, I think. They brought him here to a healing school. And of course, my question was he a firstborn? Yes, he was. I said, did you two have sex before you got married? Yes, we did. We didn't know that was wrong. Well, we did know it was wrong, but we didn't realize there would be a consequence. Isn't that amazing? We quit stoning people because people have sex before marriage. But God hasn't quit stoning them spiritually. And it happens to their children. And so they said, we knew it was wrong, but we didn't realize it was a consequence. So we've been listening to your teaching, so we have both repented of our sin. I said, well, if you've repented, God's forgiven you. Now then that you're forgiven, I said, I can claim Galatians 3:13-14 over your son. I said, son, you're in luck. Your mom and dad has repented of their sins. I said, if you were born like this, and he was, I said, it was because of your mother and dad's sin. The Lord has struck you with a curse because of your mom and dad's sins. So I said, now then that they've repented, now then Jesus has redeemed you from the curse. And so we're going to claim that for you. And I'm going to command those evil spirits that are in your eyes to come out and to leave and never come back. Then I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit into your eyes and restore them and make the retinas perfect where you can see clear in Jesus' name. I said, he will do it. And so I did. I thank the Lord for doing it. I said, now, son, I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my eyes. He said, thank you, Lord, for healing my eyes. And then, boy, then he jumped. And he was standing right here looking this way. And he said, Mom, all those words on the board up there have just come into perfect focus. He said, I can see perfect. I said, you couldn't read them before? He said, absolutely no, I couldn't read them before. But he could see perfect. By claiming the redemption from the curse, after mom and dad repented of the sin, God forgave that little boy. He forgave his mother and dad. He had paid the price for that sin. And so when I commanded those spirits that had gotten in because of legal right, they had to leave. And then when I asked the Holy Spirit to go in there and restore everything that the enemy had messed up, God did that. And that little boy's eyes were completely healed right there. And you were sitting right there too. You saw that, didn't you, Kim? Is that an awesome God we serve? He's an awesome God. That's what's available to us. When we realize that we can repent of sin, it makes no matter what sin you've committed, when you repent of sin and claim the redemption from the curse, you can be transformed. You know, God will forgive you, He will heal you, but He expects you to walk in obedience to this word. Now, we've only covered just a few scriptures today, but there's a whole lot in Galatians, and we're going to continue on through that this next few weeks, whatever it takes to get through the whole book of Galatians. I'm going to show you the things that will cause this curse to come upon you. I will show you how you can fall from grace. I want to show you how you can repent and get caught back up into being led by the Spirit. If you're not being led by the Spirit, you'll never hear the Spirit's voice. He will not talk to you. If you're living under the law, you're living under sin, and you're not living in faith. So when you're living in faith, that's where God talks to you. When you live in faith, God will talk to you. You'll hear His voice. He'll tell you something. He'll show you what's going to happen. You know, I mean, I've seen lots of children that at one time or another have heard the voice of God. In fact, I shared with a young girl when I was down at the Bill Gothard conference. I talked to Bill Gothard about hearing God's voice. And he said, Thurman, you're telling me you literally hear God speak to you? I said, yes, Bill, many times. He said, well, I don't understand that. He said, you know, I've been in the ministry 50 years. And he said, I have never heard God's voice. He said, why do you think you hear it and I don't? I said, well, Bill, I guess only one thing I can say, maybe I'm a little more hard-headed than you are. And so God, He can't get through to me just talking by the Spirit, so He talks to me audibly, I guess. I don't know, because Bill's a very nice man. You know. So anyway, he said, well, I never heard anybody that said they heard God's voice. I said, well, Bill, me and him sitting in the back seat of a little red car going down the road, two guys in the front seat. I said, hey, either one of you guys ever heard the audible or authoritative voice of God? Immediately one of them said, yeah, I have. The other one said, I have not. I said, well, Bill, right there's one. And he said, what? So we get over to the studio, and there's two beautiful young girls. They're going to do the makeup and all this stuff, and they're probably 20, 21, 22 years old. I walked out and said, hey, girls, either one of you girls ever heard the authoritative voice of God? One of them immediately said, I have. And the other one said, I have never. I said, look here, Bill. I've asked two people, and already we've got two. You know, and Bill said, well, hey, he said, Elizabeth, you said you heard God's voice. What did he say? And she said, oh, it was a long time ago. She said, I was 4 years old. I was asleep in my bed. And I heard this voice, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. She said, I jumped up and run down the hall and said, yes, Daddy, what do you want? 4 years old. He said, I didn't say anything. I didn't call you Elizabeth. She said, but Daddy, I heard you call my name twice. He said, no, 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 just go back to bed. So she goes back and she crawls into bed and she's laying there for a few minutes and all of a sudden she hears, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. She said, that's Daddy again. She jumps up out, runs down there and says, Daddy, I know I heard you this time. No, honey, I didn't say anything. It wasn't me. This little confused girl goes back and crawls in her bed, and she's laying there a few minutes, and all of a sudden she hears, Elizabeth? She said, who's talking to me? She said, it's God. Well, God, what are you trying to tell me? He said, it's time for you to accept me as your Lord and Savior. So she said, I fell out of my bed on my knees, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. She said, I got saved when I was 4. Now, is that precious? That we serve an awesome God. Now, why did He move? Somebody said, well, why did He move on her little heart at 4? Why did He do that? Does anybody have an answer to that? I do. I can guarantee you I know. Because she had a great godly mother and dad that praying for that little girl every day of her life, from the time, maybe from the time she was conceived, maybe even before she was conceived. They were praying, Lord, we bring children into this world. We want you to make sure you save those children. We don't want none of them to die and go to hell. We want them saved. And so, because of their prayer, the Lord says, it's time. Now, how many people is it that have children that never pray for their children? Boy, if you don't, you're in bad shape. And you're maybe, who knows what your children are doing, but if your children are not saved or they're not obeying God's word, I'm telling you that now would be a good time to learn how to pray. You know, and if you haven't learned how, you can get a copy of that CD back there. It says, How to Get a Lost Person Saved. And that one, or you can get the one on the third heaven. The one on the third heaven will teach you the last 20 or 30 minutes. I remember when I taught that up in Baltimore, whenever somebody asked me, well, how do you go to the third heaven? And so I'd done a demonstration of it on the tape the last 20 minutes or so. And when we got through, I said, now is there any question? And there was a lady sitting right over here, and she jumped up and thrown her arms out, and she said, where were you 20 years ago when I needed you? I said, well, ma'am, 20 years ago, I didn't know these things, so I couldn't have helped you 20 years ago. I said, but I've learned them within the last few years. But 20 years ago, I was just a normal Baptist Christian. I didn't know how to do this. But she said, it's amazing what's in this book, isn't it? I said, yes, ma'am, it's amazing what's in this book. But after I've learned these things, I'm not going to meditate on what I didn't know. I'm going to press forward to the new stuff. And I'm going to walk in obedience to God's word, and I'm going to kick out demons. I'm going to ask God to send his angels and do wonderful things, and I expect to see people get saved. Now I've learned how to do it, and so I'm able to change people's life with the word of God. So you and I, this year, we need to make a new resolution this year that, Lord, use me for your glory this year. Is that what we should say? We're sons and daughters of God. We want to do something good for him this year. I was told an awesome testimony. This man was at a job site where they were putting a hot tar roof on a building. It's solid, and they heat it with the fire until it gets boiling hot, till it becomes liquid. And so, I mean, I don't know what the temperature of that stuff is, but it's hot. And so then they mop it on the roof of a building. And somehow this big ball of hot tar was coming off the roof right for a young boy that was walking out there. And this man, he ran and jumped and caught that ball in his hand to save that little boy's life. And whenever his hand came down, all the skin came off with it. It burned everything off of his hand. They said bones was showing and everything. Also, a piece of that tar hit right here on his arm. This didn't burn a hole completely through his arm. Then there was another man there that was a great man of God. When he saw what happened, he began to scream and pray and ask God to do a miracle. I'm telling you what, you got to be a violent Christian to do what this man did. And right in the presence of everybody on the job site, God put a brand new hand and arm on that man right there that day. I talked to a man last week that had seen him. The hand that was burned is brand new flesh. The other hand's old. It's wrinkled. God gave him a brand new hand.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled New Year's Resolution, Use Me for Your Glory, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.